Several years ago, there was a character that Jimmy Fallon played on Saturday Night Live called Your Company's Computer Guy. And if you ever saw this character, he was the person at a company that was the technical support, the personal computer support, and he would make a half-hearted effort to explain something to somebody at best. And when they weren't getting what he was saying, he would just laugh and say, "Move," and push them out of the way. Have you ever tried to explain something to someone and they just can't get it? Maybe it's them. Maybe you're not doing a good job explaining it. But, you know, sometimes we're in a situation where we are trying to teach somebody and we know that it's something that they should be getting or something that they really should know by now. Maybe it's not the first time that that subject has been brought up. In fact, you know, just on this morning my phone rang and I didn't answer it and it went to voicemail and it was a customer of mine in Montgomery that has done something that I told him not to do. I've told him not to do it before and now he's done it again and you know I'm supposed to come to the rescue. That can be frustrating. And when you read the book of Hebrews, you kind of get the impression that there might be kind of that frustration as the writer is writing to the Hebrew Christians of the day as he characterizes their situation this way in these few verses in Hebrews chapter 5. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here it seems implied that the writer is addressing some problems that do exist among the brethren. He doesn't really, you know, come out and say it in the book until this very moment. And you notice in the book of Hebrews some admonitions that he makes to kind of give you a little bit of a picture and a clue that there are some things that aren't quite right with the brethren and those things need to be addressed. In chapter 2 and verse 1, the writer says, "Pay close attention to the message you've heard, lest you drift away." And so that's a reminder that I've already told you something and there's a danger of you forgetting that. There's a danger of you going off in another direction. In chapter 3 and verse 1, he says to consider Jesus, to remember Jesus, to don't forget Him. And there could be a reason that people are forgetting Him because people were trying to minimize Jesus and the significance of Him and return to Judaism. And in chapter 3 and verse 8, he tells them, don't harden your hearts like Israel did in the wilderness. What did Israelites do? Well, we've been through that in our Sunday morning classes at length, what the Israelites did. Time and time again, they fell away. They became impatient. They murmured. They complained. They forgot about the blessings that they had with a man of God leading them, having God on their side. Don't harden your hearts like Israel did in the wilderness. Why is he telling them that? Well, there's a danger to them of doing the same thing. And also in chapter 3 and verse 12, they are warned, take care lest you have an evil heart of unbelief. What will unbelief do? Well, it'll cause you not to do a lot of things that you should be doing. It'll cause you to do a lot of things you shouldn't be doing. Don't have an evil heart of unbelief because then you don't have a foundation. And in chapter 4 and verse 1, fear lest you fail to enter God's rest. Now that's a very stern warning, it's a warning that's filled with fear and trepidation because you don't want to be caught in that situation. These other things that he's been saying will result in them not entering God's rest if they don't take heed to those warnings. And again, it's repeated in chapter 4, verse 11. Be diligent to enter God's rest, lest you fall by disobedience. How are you going to fall? Well, you're going to fall because you disobey. And you will fail to enter God's rest. And finally, in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, hold fast to your confession. Remember what it is that you're doing. Remember who you are. One thing that I've noticed that Ethan prays a lot when he's called upon to pray, he always prays, help us to remember who we are. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Help us to remember who we are. Remember who you are in Christ Jesus. You were purchased with a price. Hold fast to your confession, that confession in Jesus Christ as being your Savior. Hold fast to that. And in chapter 5, verse 11, he says, of whom Melchizedek, as a type of Christ, we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So this is a concern that the writer talks about. This is a problem, being dull of hearing. And so the diagnosis of all these things really can be summed up in this problem, that they are dull of hearing. I don't know how many times my dad told me to clean the wax out of my ears. Well, yeah, I did this morning. But he said, you're not paying attention to what I'm saying. He used to tell people he had to get my attention by hitting me over the head with a 2x4. Now, he never did that. But that just shows that he was frustrated that I'm trying to get your attention. Randy, you are dull of hearing, he might have said. And that is a problem that the writer is talking about. There are people that are dull of hearing. So that's what's behind all these things that you see up on the screen. He's saying, pay attention. Don't harden your heart. Hold fast. Yeah, you know, Lord's table, I talked some about the experience I had training this week. And at one point they split us up into groups and they gave us a project and I didn't feel like it was fairly weighted because we just had four people at our table and another table had six and we were going to have to research and give a presentation. And we really only had three because one person was totally disengaged because he was on his computer. And he's somebody that's much higher in the organization than I am, so I didn't feel like I could say anything to him about it. But we're trying to come up with an outline. We're trying to come up with our plan for this presentation. And we're asking questions. Oh, can you repeat that? I was concentrated on something else. Well, I know you were because I was watching you click, 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 click while we're all talking. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, pay attention. Don't be distracted by the world. Don't be distracted by other forces that are trying to pull you aside. There's something that you need to concentrate upon. And if you don't do that, if you are full of fear, if you're not diligent, if you're not holding fast, if you're not considering the confession that you made, then you have a problem with your hearing. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is your hearing dull? My dad would ask us on the way home after services, what did I preach about? The Bible. What did I say about it? Well, you like it? What did I say specifically? Well, you talked about sin. What did I say about sin? You were against it. And we could remember if he called one of us out and used us as an illustration. Well, you told the story about me when I did this, this, this. Well, what was I illustrating? Well, I don't know, but it was a good story. Now, we were hearing, I mean, we heard him talk all the time, but sometimes we can have the disease of our hearing being dull. So let's talk about what that means. What does the Hebrew writer mean? Let's take a couple of words and look at where these words are used in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Now, when we talk about dullness, you may be thinking, well, that's a good thing for Randy to talk about because this sermon sure are dull. Dullness doesn't mean boring. Dullness doesn't mean uninteresting in this context. It's talking about something that is slow, something that is sluggish. I don't know how many of you have seen the ads for the movie that Disney's coming out with called Zootopia. And the character goes into the Department of Motor Vehicles and everybody that is working at the counter is a slug. A sloth. And, well, slug is slow, see. But there, it's a sloth and every one of them is, and I don't know where they got the idea that the Department of Motor Vehicles is slow, but that it was kind of humorous. And it just goes on and on. Very, very slow. And that's what dull means. Something that's slow or that's sluggish. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, it says, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." The opposite of dullness is diligence or earnestness. And those who respond to the words of God with faith and patience and understanding, they're not sluggish or dull. They are ones that are eager to embrace the truth. And a lot of times we see that eagerness in new Christians. You know, just this past week when Ethan went back to school and Jesse went back to her school, she went back on Saturday and asked Ethan, "Why is she going back on Saturday? Why didn't she go on Sunday night?" She said, "Because she misses the brethren down there at the church that she's worshiping with. She's got a lot of relationships with the ladies there and she wanted to get back and see them because she missed them." I thought, that's great. That's a good thing because she's built a relationship with the brethren there, and she wants to continue with that. And when we have a relationship with God and with our brethren, it's something that is not dull, it's not sluggish, it's something that has meaning, and we want to embrace that. So those who are dull of hearing, those that hear words, but the words don't really have an impact, that's a problem. And so that teaches us about hearing. The other word that's used here, dullness of hearing, it's also used in Hebrews chapter 2, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." But here's the problem. Somebody can hear something, they can physically hear it, but if they don't have any faith, It's just words. It's just dullness of hearing. It goes in one ear and out the other. We use that term a lot when we're talking to our kids. "Did you hear me? Everything I tell you goes in one ear and out the other. You're not remembering anything." My parents used to say I had antenna ears because I would hear when I wasn't supposed to hear, but I wouldn't hear when they wanted me to hear. If they weren't talking to me, I'd hear everything that they said. But when they were talking to me, I wouldn't hear it. What's the problem? Well, it's because of my mindset more than it was anything auditory, any physical issue. And what the writer here is talking about is a heart problem. It is a mind problem. It's not that, well, all these brethren had some kind of problem they couldn't hear. No, that's not it. The opposite of dullness of hearing is hearing with faith, a faith that produces obedience. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, the writer says, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, why is the Hebrew writer saying this? Is he just wanting to give them a history lesson? No, this applies to them. He wants them to remember that those that did not enter into the promised land didn't do it because of their unbelief. And if you don't have belief that results in obedience, then you're not going to enter into the promised land either. So disobedience is the result of unbelief or a lack of trust in God. It comes when the Word of God doesn't have any impact on it. It doesn't have any root in the heart. And so it really makes dullness of hearing a very serious problem because of the result. The result is that you don't enter into the promised land. You don't enter into the rest. Dullness of hearing is hearing without faith, without obedience, and there's no fruit in your life. And I sometimes wonder how people can live next to the interstate and they hear all that noise all the time. Or you live right next door to a train track. I've known people that, and maybe some here live really close to a train. You can't get in and out of Helena without crossing train tracks. And there are some residences that are right next to the train tracks. When you go into the dentist's office, you hear background music. When you go to the airport, you hear the recorded warnings about there is no parking in the red zone. You hear those things, but you really don't. Because you've become so used to it. You can ask the person that lives next to you, how do you live next to the train? What train? Oh, I've been here so long, I don't even hear it anymore. How about the interstate noise? Why did you park in the red zone? It plays that message over and over. Well, you know, I'm here so much, I don't even hear that. You can grow accustomed to something and not even hear it at all. And maybe why I could listen to my dad's lessons and he asked me, what did he talk about? Yeah, you know, I started to get the idea that I needed to pick up on a few things so I would be able to answer the question. And he started putting his outlines in the bulletin, you know, and I could refer to that real quick. But it's important to not have that dullness of hearing. This is not just an issue that the Hebrew writer pointed out. It's also something that Jesus pointed out. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus told the parable of the soils. The seed is the Word of God. The soils represent the condition of the hearts upon which the seed falls. He says in verse 18, therefore take heed how you hear. That was the problem with the soil. Some soil was receptive, some wasn't. He says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. So if you hear correctly, if you have faith and obedience, then you're going to get more to hear. But if you don't, even what you think you have is going to be taken away. Jesus is making the same point that the Hebrew writer is making. The one that has the grace to hear will receive more grace, and the one who does not, and who is dull of hearing and hard in his heart, he's not safe. And what he thinks he has is going to be taken away. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, the Hebrew writer says there's a lot more that the writer wants to talk about. He says, concerning him, we have much to say, but you have become dull of hearing. I want to tell you something, but it's just a waste of time. And sometimes in training classes, an instructor will use the expression, you know, where you're drinking from the fire hose because they're throwing so many things at you at one time, and there's not even a small chance that you're going to retain it. And so there's a time that you just have to stop. My dad's philosophy on preaching and the amount of time that a sermon should last is he just said, you need to quit before your audience does. And you know, that's different at different times. the time that the audience may quit may have a lot to do with what's being taught. It may have a lot to do with the way it's being taught. But what he's saying is that if people are not listening, you might as well not talk. And I believe that's what the writer is saying here. Is that I've got a lot to tell you, but you're not listening, so I'm just going to stop talking now. Concerning him, we have much to say, but you have become dull of hearing. If they had their ears open, if they had cleaned their wax out of their ears, if their heart was engaged, then I'll continue telling you things that will be beneficial to you, but I'm going to stop now. So that you're in danger of even throwing away the little bit that you do have because you're not listening. So what's the remedy for that? How do you get well? How do you correct this issue with the ears? Well, the text that Rex read for us this morning uses the word babe and it uses the word mature. Of course, those are two different things. They're on two different sides of the scale. The person who is dull of hearing in verse 13 is compared to a babe that has to drink milk. And there is nothing bad or diseased about the fact that a baby needs milk. A baby is depending on milk. But if that person is still a baby when he's old enough to be a teenager, then he has a problem. You know, sometimes you see older kids that are dependent on a pacifier, and you say, well, that child doesn't need to have that pacifier anymore. And I don't know how old I was when I got rid of mine, but my mom said I was too tied to that pacifier. And so one day she just took it and said, Randy, she took some scissors, gone. And she snipped the thing to pieces. Horrible mother. You know, she had one inside of a box in case of emergency break glass. But that was it. That's all. I fell for it. I didn't know that there was another one somewhere else in case of emergency. But what she was thinking is he's too old to be tied to this pacifier. It's time for him to grow up. It's time for him to move to the next step of sucking his thumb or whatever he's going to do. He doesn't need this pacifier anymore. Gone. And the writer is saying there is a time that you drink milk and that's fine. But there's a lot of you that don't need to be drinking milk anymore. And so, solid food is for the mature who by reason of practice have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. Verse 14. What's being said here is that dull hearing and being dependent on the milk is a phase. And it is a phase for those who are truly babes. But dull hearing makes the person who's lazy not move beyond where they should be and move to the next step. A continual feeding on the milk. So, if solid food is only palatable and digestible for the mature, what food do you eat? Well, you need to get to that point by drinking milk. You need to become mature, but maturity really begins in the proper use of milk, doesn't it? Those of us that are fathers, a lot of times our wives had to tell us, you can't feed the baby that. Why not? They're like Cheerios. They're not old enough to eat that yet. There is a time for milk and there is a time for food, solid food. Maturity begins with the proper use of milk. The problem with these Christians is not that some are weak or that some are babes and that the babes can't eat steak. The problem is that the babes aren't even using the milk that they get. You look in verse 14, it talks about those who become mature. How do they become mature? It says by practice, by exercise, by habit, and that would come with the right response to the milk. And the milk is supposed to produce growth toward a deeper faith and obedience and acts of righteousness. The milk of the Word should produce a new mind. It should help us to start having discernment. Again, it says, because of the practice, they have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. This is talking about the progress that people go through. It's the natural progression. And in most kids' bedrooms, you see a ruler on the wall. It's got some marks on it where the child was at different stages in their life. Here they were at 6 months. Here they were at 2 years. Here they were at 5 years. So you see that progression. Well, where is the progression of us as Christians? Well, it's boiled down to two different stages here. You've got immature and you've got mature. You've got babe and you've got mature. You've got the milk drinkers and you've got the meat eaters. But you become the meat eater by getting through with the milk stage and by maturing through that. This growth is important. If you want to eat the solid food of the Word, you have to exercise your spiritual senses so you can develop a mind based on God's Word that discerns between good and evil. And so, wherever people are in their growth, they have to take what it is that they know and they have to apply it. The pathway to maturity into solid biblical food is by becoming intelligent with your use of the food and becoming obedient. You know what people choose to do with their physical food, with their fleshly desires, with their money, with their leisure, with their computer, has more to do with their mindset and their capacity for maturity than it does with anything else in their life. Sometimes people can't control themselves, or they say they can't control themselves. And you know, back to the class the other day, we got up to give the presentations, and the presenters told us, we're not going to let you read your PowerPoint. And we're not going to let you read your notes. And if you read your notes, we're going to take your notes away from you. And I did not. I had a very minimalistic PowerPoint. I'm not going to stand here and pat myself on the back. But we had the best one. I didn't read my notes. And I kind of got elected to be the spokesman for the group. But there was another group. Guy got up. He got his note cards out. And, oh, no. He's got his note cards out. And he stood there and read them. And the problem was is that people that are used to presenting things are used to presenting certain kinds of material. And this was presenting material that you didn't necessarily know and that you had very little time to put together. So there are things that you can get up and talk about because they're things that you know. And those who've taught Bible classes in here probably could get up and talk about some Bible subject without having any notes because it's something that they've studied and that they already knew. Here we're thrown into a situation where we don't know the material and we've got to talk about something of which we don't know. So I can understand being tied to notes, but the guy gets up, he starts reading, and you know, the worst thing about reading something is making it sound like you're reading. Some people can read things and make it sound like they're not reading. But he doesn't do that. And the instructor comes up there and he snatches the notes out of his hand. So, okay, you're on your own now. And you know what? He did a lot better. When he wasn't tied to it, kind of freed him up. And so that's about maturity. It's about applying things. And when we're talking about growth as Christians, there are things that we need to study, we need to understand, and we need to apply them. And that's what it means when the writer talks about you need to start discerning between good and evil. That you don't have to keep having somebody feed you all the answers here. That you've got a baseline of understanding and you start applying those things. But he said, you're not there because you should be eating meat by now, and you're not. You're still drinking milk. So so. We've seen this a lot. Got milk? Well, how is it that you drink the milk? How do you drink milk? The writer recognizes that they need to be taught the first principles again. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1. It's interesting here that although the Hebrew writer recognizes, as he's already said, that they need to be taught the first principles again, that they should be teachers themselves, he's not going back to those elementary things. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let me leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance. I'm not going back to something that you should already know. That they needed to move beyond the law of Moses into the reality of the gospel. You know, the solution for them is not jumping from milk to steak and leaving the milk behind, but they need to have some maturity, and they just don't have it because they haven't done enough to grow. And so these are not kind words. These are not complimentary things. He's telling them to grow up. So they need to first drink the milk. They need to listen and read the message of God. It's amazing to me how many times we can spend so much time in a classroom, we can spend so much time in a congregation hearing things over and over and then not have any ability to teach it or to recall it. It's really not that surprising. Anybody that's relied on a GPS to get them somewhere and they use that GPS every day and one day they don't have it. I mean, even though they have driven that same route every day for 4 days, they have become so dependent on that telling them every move that they have to make. When it comes time for them to make the move themselves, they're totally unable to do it. And I say that from firsthand experience. When it comes to God's Word, sometimes people can hear it over and over and over and hear the same thing. But when it comes time to apply it, when it comes time to recall it, when they need it, it's not there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is implying that those who hunger and thirst for it, they're going to study it, they're going to meditate on it, they're going to have it, and it's going to help them in their time of need. So we need to drink the milk. And we also need to be satisfied with the milk that God provides. We don't need to be looking for other sources of nourishment. John chapter 6, verse 63 said, "It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, they are life." So everything that we need comes from God. We need to be satisfied with that and know that it gives us the nourishment that we need. And we also need, as the Hebrew writer says, we need to pray for this discernment and wisdom that we need. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, "This I pray, that your love may still abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Vincent's word study tells us the word that's translated as discernment here, it means sensitive moral perception. What does that mean? It means that when you know the Word, that you are able, through discernment, to apply it to real life. Sometimes when people get out of school, they think, "Well, I'm never going to use algebra. I'm never going to use math. I'm never going to use these things." And then all of a sudden, they're in a situation, "Oh, I just used algebra." And what we see here is that those who have discernment, "Oh, well, I just used the attitude. I just use the fruits of the Spirit. That's what I need to do." So being able and being willing to see ourselves in the words of God, instead of just seeing how it condemns others or applies to others, think about yourself. Luke chapter 11, verse 52, "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourself, and those who were entering in, you hindered." So what's being said here is that not only did the Pharisees refuse to hear God themselves, but their false interpretation of the law was also taking the ability of others away for them to see it clearly. And certainly we don't want to be in that situation. We want to apply it to ourselves. How many times do we walk out of the building saying, well, that sure was a good lesson for the one that wasn't there. And we're not thinking at all about how it applies to ourselves. What we need to do when it comes to the milk and meat of God's Word, act upon the truth that you know. You may not know everything, but if we would just act upon what it is that we know, then we would be a lot better off. Use the milk to lead you into a life of consistent obedience to God. And then we will move on and have more ability to take on the meat of the Word. But those that drink the milk and stay in that position and don't mature, don't apply it to themselves, the writer's saying, you've had plenty of time. You've had plenty of time to do this. You've had plenty of time to apply this to yourself, but you're really in the same situation. So many areas of our life where people will have patience with us for a while. You know, if I'm saying, Randy, you should have known this 6 months ago. I signed this to you a long time ago. You know, this is really basic. You're not going to be able to move on to the next level until you grasp this. We understand that. We need to understand that when it comes to God's Word. So we need to move beyond milk and we need to go to meat. We need to always be proving, improving, so that we're not in the same situation that the Hebrew writer is talking about with these brethren. I hope these things will be useful to you and be an encouragement to you to work harder, to study more, and to make sure that your life aligns with the Word of God. We can help you anyway to do that, to be obedient to God's Word. We invite you to come. Let's stand together today.